Okay, good evening. In English, should not be doing from volume 3, the laws of Shofar and a bit of Yom Kippur. So we're starting on page 331 of volume 3. So we know that Rosh Hashanah has got lots of inyanim of it. I think Shofar is just one of them. But it's an important part of the mitzvah of Shofar. And the Torah tells us in Vayikra, Dabar Bnei Yisrael, Emor b'chodesh ha-shvi'i b'chad l'chodesh on the first day of the seventh month, Yelachem Shabbaton, right? Which would be like a Shabbos, which means it's a chag, Dana Melacha. Zichron Chua Mikra Kodesh. And it should be through a Zichron Chua, memory of Chua. And then the next, that's in Vayikra, in Bamibra, we go to Vachosh, Vibachel HaKodesh, Mikra Kodesh Yelachem. Kodecham Lalo Tasu, Yom Chua Yelachem. Okay, so we all know the famous Gemara that in Vayikra it's called a Zichron Chua, and in Bamibra it's called a Yom Chua. It's already when Shabbos is on Rosh Hashanah that we learned in Masechet. We saw it in where do we see it? We saw it at the end of Sukkah, right? We saw the end of Sukkah, and it'll be in Masechet Rosh Hashanah and in Masechet Megillah. The Chachamim said that when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos, so you don't blow shofar, you don't take a lulav, you don't read the Megillah, and basically the asmachta for the Gemara to do that is because we see over here that it says Yom Chua Yelachem a zikaron. So what does it mean a zikaron, a memory? If it's not Shabbos, you blow shofar. If it's Shabbos, you don't blow shofar, and it's only a memory. Okay, well, we're fortunate. In fact, it was in the Daf of today, in Beit Daf Hay, that we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So only one of them can be Shabbos. So that in our lives at the moment, you always hear shofar at least once on Rosh Hashanah. Right? In an ideal sense, you should only have 1 day. And then it'll be a problem, because if it's on Shabbos, you wouldn't blow shofar. Can Rosh Hashanah be on a Shabbos? Yes, it can. Right? So it can be on Shabbos. All right, so that's just very, very quickly about that. There's a Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Tet Zayin here on page 332. So I'm Rabbi Abahu, Lama Tokin B'Shofar Shel Ayil. Why do we use Dafka and Ayil or Ram? Because Baruch Hu Tikkun Lefanai B'Shofar Shel Ayil, blow him from an Ayil, because Yeskol Lachem at Yitzchak Ben Abraham. So I remember the Akedah of Yitzchak. Basically, regard you as if you yourselves had been sacrificed before me. So there is an Indian of an aisle. Okay, now, in the specific mitzvah of shofar. So there's an interesting machloket. Sorry, I don't know if it's as much as a machloket, although it is a machloket, halacha, we'll see in a moment. But a philosophical question to begin with. We have a mitzvah of shofar. And the Torah tells us, where's the pasuk? Hold on. Yom Chua Yelachem. Like we just read a second ago, right? Yelachem, Zichron Chua, or Yom Chua Yelachem. So it's a day of shofar sounding, they're translating in English. Yom Chua, day of sounding. So is it a mitzvah to blow the shofar, or is it a mitzvah to hear the shofar? Isn't one answer, by the way. Both answers are right. So machloket rishonim. The Rambam seems to say that it's a mitzvah to hear the shofar, and the Shulchan Aruch Paschal is like the Rambam. And Rabbeinu Tam seems to imply that it's a mitzvah to blow the shofar. How do we know that? Because it will depend on the brochas that they say that you make. So if you look at it, the Rambam says over here, on page 333, number 5, Mitzvah says shall tell you shmoa chua la shofar Rosh Hashanah. It's a mitzvah, part of the commandment to hear the shofar. Shneema yom chua yelachem. Right? And therefore, he says like this. As a result, halacha gimel, shofar hagazul shetakabo. If you blew shofar from a stolen shofar, yatza. As opposed to lulav hagazul, lo yatza. Right? If you use a lulav yot, you'll tell the stolen lulav. It's mitzvah baba avera. He says, yeah, the shofar, if you used a stolen shofar, not if you stole it, it's not, you know. If it is stolen, and you blew a yatzah, why? He says, Shara mitzvah ele b'shmira kol. Because all we care about is hearing the noise of shofar. And blowing shofar is, unfortunately, without blowing shofar, you can't hear the shofar. So you've got to blow shofar. There's no mitzvah to blow shofar. So if a person hears a shofar, right, and somebody was intended to motzi, you know, the shame mitzvah of hearing shofar, there's no mitzvah to go and blow a shofar that the instrument becomes the issue of the mitzvah. The ain bekol din gezel. You can't steal sound. Rambam says, you can't steal sound. Right? That is the Rambam over there. So it's very interesting. The Rambam seems to imply explicitly that the mitzvah is to listen. On the other hand, if you look at the Rosh is over here, number 7. Rabbeinu Tam, quite Rabbeinu Tam, but Tosfot. Sheyesh lebarech, not lishmoa shofar, ela. No, not that. All right, but alt kiat shofar. Right, on the you have to make a brocha that says a brocha, to blow shofar. And he says over here, because basically the asiyata hi gemar mitzvata, right? For when you actually blow the shofar, that's the mitzvah. So interesting, right? That's the Rosh. The Rambam says, listen, if you look at the tour over here, to skip over here the 7 mitzvah, go to attend the tour, right? But Kodem Shiitka, this is the son of the Rosh, by the way. It's interesting. The Rosh says, Levarech al tkiat shofar. Normally, the tour paskins like his father. Almost entirely. Paskins like his father. Right? Here the tour says, Vakodem Shiitka, Levarech lishmoa kol shofar velo litkoa. He says, you make lishmoa to listen and not to blow. In other words, he's exact opposite of what his father says. Right? The love bit kia talia mil tele b'shomea, because nothing to do with the blowing, it's all to do with the hearing. Kiditnan, like the Mishnah says, ha tokei le toch habor, v'chulun yatsa, if you blew into a pit, shofar, and you're standing outside, you aren't yotze. Why? Because you're hearing the echo of the shofar. However, the person who's in the pit, he will be yotze. If the guy's standing in the pit, he hears the sound of the shofar. So only people outside the pit don't hear the sound of the shofar, because they hear the echo of the shofar. But the guy in the pit will hear the shofar. So he says, you've got to hear that's his proof from that Mishnah. Okay. So now, so we see a real machloket over here, right between the two of them. And the Shulchan Aruch says, go to Shulchan Aruch Aviyah number 13, Kodem Shiitka, Yivarech, Yishmoa, Kol Shofar, Yivarech, Shechianu. Rav Shulchan passes like the Tur, passes like the Rambam, right? And therefore he says, go and make a Shechian. Okay. So the next question about blowing shofar, which has always intrigued me, to be honest, is how many shofar blows do you blow? So let's try and do this very, very briefly. The Mishnah Masechet Rosh Hashanah, which says, Tara Banami, nine Shiva Shofar, how do we know? Where do we know from shofar, firstly? Where do we know all that you even blow a shofar on your shofar? Maybe it's a trumpet. Trumpets are used, the Baal Mikdash was used in the desert. It wasn't only a shofar that was blown. How do you know you blow the shofar? The Torah says, Yom Teruah. Maybe Yom Teruah is with a shofar, or with a trumpet, or with some other musical instrument, right? What do we say there was called? Abuv of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe had a wooden abuv in the head of the Baal Mikdash, like a wooden. Like it's an Australian thing, is it? What's it called? Didgeridoo. That's what it was, abuv. Yeah, so we more recently, and Moshe was in one of the kalim in the Baal HaMikdash, it was made of wood, and they tried to cover it in gold, and it didn't work. They took it for gold. Only wood, only sand worked. It was Moshe, abuv or Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? So maybe it was the abuv. So, it says there with regards to the Yovel, right? The Yovel is on the 50th year of the cycle on Yom Kippur, you blow the shofar. So, on the 7th month, why did Torah actually add a seventh month? It wasn't necessary to add on the 7th month. We don't talk about the 7th month. So, Matthew was why to mention the 7th month. You call Torah Cholashvi Zekazeh, that all the shofar blowings, all the trumpet, all the blowings, the truot on the 7th month, meaning Hayovel, and Rosh Hashanah is from the same instrument. And we know that on Yovel it's from shofar, therefore Rosh Hashanah is also from shofar. And then the Mishnah asked over there, how do we know that we've got a simple blast before the Truah, because it's Yom Truah? So where do we know that a Truah has to have before it a Pshuta, what we call a Tkiah? Right? Tkiah, Truah, Tkiah. How do we know that? Where do we know that from? So, right? Talmud Lomar, Ta'aviru Shofar. Talmud Lomar, sorry, Ba'avarta Shofar Truah. Sorry, that's Ba'avarta, that you first have a... How do they say it? It's preceded, right? From the Havarta comes first. And then, and we know afterwards, someone says, Taviru Shofar, pass the Shofar. So before and after, we have to have a Tekiah. So now basically we see that every single true of the Torah says Yom Truah is at least 3 blasts. Right? The Truah is 1 blast, a Tekiah 3, a Tekiah at the end. We always got 3. Right? So where do we get to have we? Now we know that, everybody here knows that today we blow how many? 100. Right? So this is the Shulchan Aruch. How many do you have to hear? Listen. So it says, Taisha 9. Why Taisha? Why 9? If it's Nehemar, it says, Truah be Yovel. It says, Truah once on the Yovel. Rosh Hashanah, Shalosh Pa'amim. So, and Rosh Hashanah 3 times. Right? V'chol Truah, Pshtarif, Nev, Shadif, Ariah. And so it's 3 times on Rosh Hashanah. And each one has a Tkiah before the Tkiah afterwards. So it's basically 3 times 3 is 9. You hear 9 blows, your Yotze Doraita. Okay? We'd be a Shmuel Amdu, he says there's a Masorah, right? That Shekol Tot Shecholet Shashvi Yechadeh, and they're all the same. Be'er Moshe Rabbeinu Yom HaKippurim, Shal Yovel, Teisha Tekiyot Tokin B'chol Echad Mishnehem, Tarat, Tarat, Tarat. The Yovel as well. So we just learned about the Yovel. Please go, we'll have a Yovel one day. We'll blow shofars, Tarat, Tarat, Tarat. Tekiyah, Truah, Tekiyah, the Rat is the Truah. called Tarat. But we know that's not the case, because we blow 100. So there's a Gemara in Masech Rosh Hashanah. It's like a Shiul Trua Kesheloshe Shevavot. How long is a Trua? A Trua is like 3 years, how do you write it in English? Whimpers. Okay, whimpers. And then, but what is it? We've got a bright that says it's not 3 whimpers, it's 3 shivarim, right? Shivarim are like breaks, shever, from a shavur, broken, like 3 broken sounds. So Rabbi says, not a problem. Ha, baha, vadai, plige. Here is a machloket, dichtiv, yom trua yelachem. It says, yom trua. And then how the Targum say it in the Pasuk? Unkulus, yom yevava yehelachon, a yom of yevava. Right? Yevava over here, we just saw a second ago, means whimpering. Uchtiv ba'emei de Sisra. And there, we've got a case in Eime of Sisra. Right? There's a whole story in Tanakh about Sisra with Barak and with, what was her name, Dvorah, the Shofetet. She got the instructions, Barak fought them, and in the end day, Barak was like a head of chief of staff for one of the Canaanite armies, and they took on this Zvulun and one of the tribes, Zvulun and Yisachar, I think. They took on Zvulun and Yisachar, and in the end, they got wiped out, and the Zvulun Yisachar wiped them out, and he ran away, and Yael took him in, and she was actually a married woman, and I don't know if she slept with him or didn't sleep with him, it's a whole different of opinions there. The bottom line is, she got him a little bit thirsty, she drank, he gave him milk, remember the whole story of the milk, and the milk made him very thirsty, and it had some sort of an alcoholic effect. It was, what do you call it, and he went to sleep, and she basically drove a tank through his head. Huh? Barak was the general, Devorah was the prophetess, and Yael was who killed him, and he was also the head of chief of staff of the Canaanite army, Sisera. Sorry, did I mention that? Because we said Sisera's mother here, sorry. So the Gemara is like, where do we know about the blast from? He says, and Sisera's mother, she waited through the window. Now this guy was like a Caesar, right? He always won the wars, he always came back riding on his horse, I suppose, carrying skulls of the people that he had killed. I don't know what it was. His mother always got very excited watching him come home, and yeah, she's waiting at the window, and her son's not coming home. And suddenly she starts crying. And that's where we get 100 blows from, by the way. That is the source of 100 shofarot at Kiyota and Rosh Hashanah. Right? It says in Shoftim, here in Shoftim, hey Kafchet, Mar Savar Ginuche Ganach. Some people say that her crying was like a Ganach. Rashi says, Kadama Ginuach Milibo. Like, from the Marachim, Mar Savar Yilula. And that is the difference between a Shever and a Trua. We get this confusion here. Is a Trua a Yevava? Or is it Trua Ashvayim? There's a Rav Kotzolovaychik over here. I'm just going to skip a little bit. They're quite a Rav Kotzolovaychik over there. Kotzolovaychik says, why does, look on page 340, I'm reading the English, why does the story of a pagan mother awaiting her barbaric son from the halachic base, form the halachic basis for the customary number of shofar sounds that are blown on Rosh Hashanah? Kotzolovaychik asked the question, right? Let's be honest, mind-boggling. So it says, because upon hearing the piercing tones of the shofar, we must experience a similar emotion to that which she experienced. As we awaken from spiritual complacency, we must witness our own illusions being relentlessly shattered. The word trua is defined in the Gemara as yebava, a form of the very same word used to depict the rhythmic sobbing of Sisera's mother, as described by Devorah in her song, taken from Before Hashem, page 6-8, next to what's question about Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so it's not really that it's because of her that we do it, but the sounds are what she said. But hey, we'll see that Sisera's mother did cry 100 times. According to Devorah, she cried 100 times, and that's where we get 100 from. In fact, there's the Svaradim have a minhag to do shofar blowing 101 times to show that they're better than Sisera. We Ashkenazim pasken 100. Okay, so let's move. We get a little bit. Okay, so there's now the Gemara says like this. The Hatev. You look at page 341 over here, 24. Mikrei Kodesh Harav Harari Rosh Hashanah. It's quite from Merkaz Rav Yerushalayim. This is Moshe Harari. He says like this, even though it's daftu in 30, the Ashkenazim have a minhag to hit 100, vasvardim nahagu lishmua 100 b'chat tekiot. Okay? And that he doesn't say over here why. And there's a shud mishpatei Uziel over here, and he says, nahagu b'chot for Yisrael dikom 100 tekiot shofar b'mei Rosh Hashanah 100, vasmechu akra dithrib b'mizmor shirom Rosh Hashanah, kol ha'amim tiku chaf. Right, as we say before we actually blow, it says in Gematria, Meya. Right? He says and Rabbi Chalil Shalot Minagedomnek Shumitukan Mekubal. Right? Says cause kaf over here. Right? Chaf and pay. Pay is 80 and chaf is 20. So tichu chaf. Right? Blow 100. That's where he gets. That's where he's that from. People aren't excited about that. I think he's talking there particularly about those who blow 101. If you look here at Aruch HaShulchan on page 348:22, we have a minhag to blow 100 for the 100 cries of the mother of Sisra. The Aruch brings it there. The Viu Tosfot Varosh prepared Dalid Rosh Hashanah in the Masechet Rosh Hashanah there. The Tosfot and the Rosh all bring it. Vaturu Katav Shai Rab Avram. He says Rab Avram Gaon. The Echad Tfilah Marin Trua Gdola Belot Kia. The Achash Echad Tfilah Marin Trua Gdola. And then it brings another halacha there. By the way, so the Tur. That's the first answer there about Sisra's mother. And the Tur brings interesting halacha. He says Vaturu Katav Shai Rab Avram Gaon. The Achara Tvila Meri'in Tru'a Gedola. Yes, this is what I'm saying. The Meri'in Tru'a Gedola. Without Tekiah, below Tekiah. Why? Kedei L'arbev HaSatan. V'ein Anunu Haginte. But the 101 for the Sfarim, not to Arbev HaSatan. The Tur brings 100, that a minna to blow Tru'a. At the end, to confuse the Satan. The Satan's waiting for the Tekiah. Nah, we got you. No Tekiahs. But he says, well, I mean, okay, it might be right, but I didn't see that. Kashukh Aruch Harav, the everybody here knows the blows that we blow at the beginning before the Chazan starts Musaf are called Tekiot Meyushav, right? The sitting Tekiot, and the Tekiot that he blows in the middle, like usually we have a Tekiot Rashat, right? So there's some Minhagim to actually blow in the Shmona Asra itself, right? And any of you ever been in the Shul where they do that? Yeah, okay. Was your Minhag? Okay. So there is a minag like it, quite an acceptable minag. I've never been in one of those, by the way, where they would blow shofar during the Shmona Asra. So then in the middle, they'd have to like time it very well with the Shaliach Tzibur, and he'd stop his davening, and they'd do calling?
Yeah.
No calling. And then they blow. But bottom line is that there's the Meyushav, which is the sitting, it wasn't called Meyushav. Right, it's basically because you're allowed to halakhically sit there. You can sit for the hearing. Without the minhag truth is that nobody sits. We all stand for the brachas, nobody stands. But if somebody is weak or tired or old or whatever the case is, and it's hard for him to stand, that's an easier place to sit. Okay, there is to sit. It's already mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara says, look, my Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tet Zayin, yeah, 26. Page 343. So the Gemara says, "In Lama Meri'in." So what do you Meri'in? Rachman Amar Zichron Chua. So he says, "No. Lama Tokin or Meri'in Keshen Yoshvin. Why do you first blow while they're sitting, and then V'Tokin Meri'in Keshen Omdin when they're standing?" So he says, "Why? Kedel Arbeva Satan." Everything we're quite involved on Rosh Hashanah with confusing the Satan. Tomorrow morning, for example, we're not going to blow shofar after davening. You know that. We don't blow shofar every Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because Satan is expecting us to blow shofar tomorrow, so we're not going to blow shofar tomorrow. It's also a minhag when the chazan is, or the tokay is blowing, he keeps the shofar covered. And he only pulls it out as he's about to blow. Also, la beveda Satan. All these things. So the Gezeri, Gomorrah. Then if you skip to page 345, the Torah over here says that v'omer tokelit koa, right? That the person who's standing, right? So even though you might be able to sit down, but the person who's blowing shofar, v'omer hatokelit, the guy blowing has to stand. Shlichi yidkam umar stand. How do we know? Dichtiv yom tru'a yelachem. But yeah, I think we learn from lachem. What does it mean lachem? Dichtiv gabe omer. The God to the Sfirat Omer. It's the Sfirat Omer me'umar. Dichtiv me'achel achemesh b'kama. Says that the whole idea of the story is that me'achel achemesh b'kama. When you take the, what's it called? The what's that translation? The sickle. Right? And you go and you're going to cut down the crop. So kama means the standing crop, that your produce is standing. That's what the word kama means. The grains in the field is called kama. But the chachamim have a play on the words. Right, this is over here, bakama, altikri bakama, bakama ela bakoma, up, standing up. So you've got to do the mitzvah of Omer, you have to do standing. We've got Xdara Shava from Omer to Shofar, we have to do a standing as well. But olam ikat kiyahima umad, shi'al seder brachot. Right? So basically, we go through the brachos of the Musaf, and we do everything standing up. I suppose if you're blowing during the Shmona Esrei, so it's certainly standing, right? Mishmur Zavi Ava Tzibur HaShomim HaTkiyot Lo Hitrichum Lamod Bishum Kavod Tzibur. See that?
It seems to me like if it's the Beit HaSafah, the one should sit.
Dafka,
one should sit, not
stand. Okay, maybe.
And then,
yeah. Okay, also. So you look, the Mishmur says that the Tzibur that's listening to David don't have to trouble them to stand because of Kavod HaTzibur. That's why. Because it's not nice to make a Tzibur stand. Just not a kavod. I'm not sure why. V'achshav shem mishdavu nagu atzibu lamod kulam gam b'shar tkiot shetukin kol musaf. Even they called me yushav me'achar shereshut neshem because you're allowed to sit there. They meaning to stand. B'miachin shemet kol tzet b'hem ve'enu atid lishmo asen ha'brachot. He said, if you this is the only ones you're going to hear are these first few, and you aren't going to hear ones later on. This is when you've been yotze in your nine doraitas. He says, then tzarich b'din lamod echi should actually stand. So to be yotze, you should stand. No, they're interrupting it during the shofar blowing. Just one loch in from the Shulchan Aruch on page 347, 33. Lo yasiach, lo atokev, lo atzibur, bein tkiot shimusha, tkiot shimumot. You shouldn't talk between shofar blows. And I'll say one thing that's not really necessarily written here, la halacha b'mefurah mefureshek. It's a good minhag not to speak for the moment that shaliach tzibur makes, the tokev makes a brocha until the last 100. So essentially it's one big mitzvah. And one shouldn't talk during one big mitzvah. Obviously, if you're going to talk about something to do with the davening, or you're going to talk about something to do with the shofar blowing, or if your child needs to be explained about the davening, whatever the case is, you don't have to go, shh, let me be mishuga. But one shouldn't speak. Okay, I think that's really, a woman in the mitzvah of the shofar. I saw an amazing Shulchan Aruch over here. I skipped it by 352. Shulchan Aruch says over here, Isha Ptura, right? A woman is patur from mitzvah of shav. That was a mind boggling. Why? Because the mitzvah of shav is about grammar. Right? That's an interesting one. So that is Shulchan Aruch Orachaim, Taf, Kuf, Pei, Tet, Halocha, Gimel. Skip down, we'll come back to Rabbi Akiva Eiger in a moment. Page, it's 43 here. Orachaim, Taf, Kuf, Pei, Tet, Halocha, Vav. Right? So three halochas later. Af, Alpi, Shenashim, Pturot, Yecholot litkoa. A woman can blow shofar. Michael, so you're sure the shofar blows tomorrow. I know that one of the women we know loves blow shofar. Well, you can get in. Right? V'chein, achar shiatza kfar, yechol litkoa lehotzian. And v'chein acher, sorry, a man that's really been yotze, can also blow again to be motzi somebody else. Av'em evarchot, blow yevarchu lahen. So we're talking here about that he can make blush back a woman make a brocha and they shouldn't make a brocha, right? He should make a brocha for them. The Rama says though, v'aminag shanashim mevarchot al mitzvah l'sheshes b'angrama. The Sfaradim, you see, don't make mitzvahs on minhagim. So that's why, for example, a woman on Rosh Chodesh wouldn't make a brocha on Halel for Sfaradim. Even the men don't make brochas on Halel. Right, so that's not a good example. So they do a lulav. A woman make a brocha. Any in this mitzvah sheshes b'angrama, a woman's patur from. If a Sfaradi woman does it, it doesn't become a minhag. She'll make a brocha. Ashkenazim do make a brocha on a minhag. The women do make brochas. Says the other Rama says, "Aminak shanashim bevarchot al mitzvot asheshes b'angrama. Al kain gam kan tevarchen datzman. They can make a brocha to themselves. Aval acherim. Right. Aval lo yevarchu lahen im kvar yatzuv ein tokin rak tenashim." He says, people shouldn't make a brocha for women that have already been yotze because they only chayv in a minag, right? And a person shouldn't blow shofar just for women. Okay, that's probably for other reasons. But im tokin leisha mechuyav mevarchinom, if you're blowing for a man, you can make a brocha for him, even though you've already been yotze. Like same as kiddush, you know that. Kiddush, you can make kiddush 10 times. You can be motzei people for kiddush time and time. There's no limit to kiddush. It's the same idea over here. Kiddush, I think kiddush you can. Okay. I never heard of you can't on Kiddush.
What about davening? There's a separate, there's an extra minute, you need to be a Shulich Tibur after really davening.
Shmona Esrei?
Yeah.
I think you did as well. Maybe you could do it as a nadava. The question is just to be the shliach tzibur. You wouldn't daven your own shmona asra and then do the shliach tzibur. You just go and be the shliach tzibur. But then you being your, I would imagine. It's a good question. I don't know the answer to it. I would imagine that there's a gemara we learned about Sechei Bracha where the guy walks to the shulek and he goes and you're ready for nataiva. Remember that? And he doesn't actually daven and he's shmona asra. That he has a kavona that should be his shmona asra. And we learned something like that. Something like that. Not familiar. He's talking about if you're going to be a shaliach tzibur for Musaf for Rosh Hashanah, and you've just been a shaliach tzibur over here. Now there's a later bin, you want to go be a shaliach tzibur over there.
I was thinking the thing you said earlier with the blowing shofar just for women. I've definitely seen people do it.
Just for women.
Yeah, the wives all missed it, so the guy goes and blows professionally.
Look, this is at least what the Shulchan Aruch says. We can look at the Nosei Kaila and see if there's anything else that's not brought over here. Okay, I want to just go back and say there's a Shut Rabbi Akiv Agias. I haven't mentioned anybody tonight in names. Any other than discuss tonight, besides Rabbi Akiv Agias, we get to Hagod Maimonides, we'll discuss him. Rabbi Akiv Agias, who we just be corrected now, thank you to Alex. He was the father-in-law of the Chatam Sofer when he had his second wife, okay? It was actually brother-in-law as well. But he was a huge Talmud Chacham. He was an absolute genius of geniuses, etc. He says over here like this with regards to women. He says, V'lezen nir'ah, it makes it seems he says that they aren't chayv in mitzvah in Israel for the woman. He says, make a difference because rov nashay didan, most of the women in our community machmir as lemachmir to do it. The zehirut, the zrizut lekayim rov mitzvah asher shman grama. They make and they're particular about all mitzvah asher. Most of the mitzvah asher shman grama. Kagon shofar sukkah lula v'chem v'kirishon to v'etzet v'havei kekiblu alai. And see, they were covering them. For them, they were in the kai. As far as they're concerned, they're chayiv. And I think we're also saying that our women today as well. Women that we live with, most of the women we live with, don't say achat mitzvah shaman grama, can't keep it. Right? When it comes to lulav, they want to be able to take lulav, shofar, they want to be shofar, megillah, they hear, okay, etc. Okay. That was it. Okay. So that really sums up very quickly 7 minutes more than I wanted to, but 27 minutes of shofar. I hope it will help you all, have a better understanding. Appreciation of shofar blowing. So now we're going to discuss quickly about Yom Kippur. So we all know that there's a mitzvah to fast Yom Kippur. That everybody knows. But also, it's just as important as the Gemara Masechet Yoma. It's like a Tanya Chia Bar Rav Midifti. V'nitem v'nafshotechem b'tisha. The pasuk over there says, the whole pasuk, it's actually printed over here. The pasuk says, Shabbat Shabbat Toni Lachem. It should be a proper day of rest for you, Shabbat Shabbat, in double language. You fix your souls, but Tisha Lachosh on the 9th of the month, but Erev mi Erev ad Erev Tishbetu Shabbatchem. From the night to the night, at night you have a Shabbos. But since over here, if you look in the actual words, depending how you punctuate, is also a bit of an issue. But you could punctuate that says V'nitemet but Tisha, you got to infix on the 9th. But when is Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is on the 10th. What's it mean? We tell us just the gemara over here. Balo ba'asor ba'asor on the 10th. And lomar lecha kol ha'ochel b'shote b'tshi'i ma'aliyah lava katuv kiri tanu tshi'i v'asiri. So really, the gemara comes and says we should really be fasting 2 days because it's impossible to fast 2 days. Therefore, eating on the 9th is as if you were fasting for a second day. And if you ate on the 9th properly, eat nicely, then as if you fasted 2 days. So we see that eating erev Yom Kippur is, I don't want to say as important as fasting, but it's certainly a very integral part of the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur. Now, I'll just sidetrack and say, not in the notes of the others. I said, I've mentioned this before in our shiur, Olata Riyah of Soloveitchik, of Rav Kook. Right? That in the city of Olata Riyah Rav Kook, he says like this, he wants to prove that there isn't a place in Judaism for ascetism, for self-infliction, etc. And that when there is on Yom Kippur, it's very limited. And he says, this is his beginning of the race. So the guy might say, I'm going to fast for 10 days and finish my fast to Yom Kippur. You can't, because you've got to eat Yom Kippur. You've got to eat, you've got to stop. Yom Kippur is covered on both sides. And then he says, the same thing. You might say, okay, I'll start fasting Yom Kippur, and then I'll go over for another week afterwards. You can't, because the mitzvah to go with the sukkah and what's Yom Kippur. And he says, how can you go put the sukkah? You haven't got strength, you've got to eat. So he wants to say that proof from there that Yom Kippur is very much a very, very isolated situation where we allow ourselves a certain amount of infliction. That I heard, by the way, Rabbi Nachum Rong, a friend of my father's, dying in Jerusalem in 1985. I've repeated it quite a lot. I like it a lot. Okay. So now, there's the Shari Chuvas of Rabbi Yonah. He talks out here like this. He says, he brings different reasons why we eat every Yom Kippur. Right? So he says over here, if you look, they bring in the notes actually over here, the first reason given is through the, eating a festive meal, thereby demonstrates his joy at the forgiveness he expected to receive for his sins on Yom Kippur. It also indicates to Hashem that he regrets sins he has committed. The third reason given is to strengthen ourselves in order to properly dive into Hashem and repent on Yom Kippur while fasting, because you want to have be a little bit strong, like, you know, like you, like carbo loading before you go for a heavy workout, right? You've got to carbo load for Yom Kippur as well. Truth is, I think if people do more carbo loading for Yom Kippur than they do when they're going to run a marathon, and the amount of pasta that gets consumed in my house anyhow. And then he brings over here, he says another reason in the book of Yeshua, so those are two reasons. He says, well, it's regarding the festival, we establish a meal for the Jew of Mitzvah, because in normal, on Yom Kippur, we normally eat. Yom Kippur, we can't eat. So you have the meal area Yom Kippur. Okay, so those he gives three reasons. Now, the reason why Rabbi Yonah Gerondi Ben Avner, Rabbi Baruch quotes him a lot, or he tells a story. You know, there was a real tragedy in Paris in 1233. It's in the book of here. That there was a whole outcry against the, he led, Rabbi Yonah Ben Gerondi, he was one of the guys that led the anti-Rambam sort of riots. And they burnt the Mora Nevuchim and they burnt the Sefer Mada, I think it was. Is it written over here? I think it's out of here. Yeah, Sefer Mada. And that's the first, okay. And they burnt all of that in 1233. In 1242, right, about 11 years later, 10 years later, in the exact same spot, the Goyim burnt truckloads. Can I say 24 wagon loads of Talmud were burnt? And is there were 24 wagon loads of Talmud, huh? What?
No,
on page 370. Have you not got it there in your thing? Right? Imagine wagon loads. We're talking not about the printing press now. We just go run off another thing or desktop publishing or photocopying. We're talking about every single Gemara was written by hand. 24 wagon loads burnt. And Rav Yonah, he saw this as a sign of basically like a midah connected midah that we burnt the Rambam's books. As a result of that, that's why these Gemaras were burnt. He did massive tshuva. He wrote his Sefer afterwards called Charei Tshuva. He wrote all books about it. He became one of the biggest proponents of the Rambam, etc. So it's worth quoting just for that. Okay. Shulchan Aruch says, Mitzvah lechol b'yom kippurim u'l'arbot pasuda. He says, Mitzvah to eat, and not only just to eat, but to go all the way. And the Rama says, Vasur lehitanot po afilu techalom. If you had a dream, right? There's a mitzvah of a tarit chalom, right? So you ought not to fast that night, even if you had a tarit chalom. What's quite amazing is the machloket in halacha here, and you see the Shulchan Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he says again, a woman chayav in is eating. Because if this eating is left to the fast, is it like also like a part of a mitzvah asher shazman grama or not? He has a big question about it. It's not so simple. You see the connection between eating and the fasting. It's quite unbelievable. They're really like two sides of the same coin. Okay. The next thing here we speak on Yom Kippur is we know that Yom Kippur, so there's a big thing of asking for forgiveness. So the Mishnah in Yom Kippur is like this. Yom Kippur doesn't work for sins between people. If you had a fight with a guy, you beat up somebody, you stole from somebody, you cursed somebody, you bad-mouthed him, you cheated him, whatever you did, you can beat your chest on Yom Kippur as hard as you want, you can bruise yourself, you can break your ribs, it's not going to help you. Yom Kippur is only going to help when you appease the guy, and then Hashem will get involved. If you've got sins between Hashem, they mentioned it, yeah, but a classic, for example, eating chaylev or having sexual relations, let's say, with a forbidden woman or whatever the case is, right? It's sins like that. Yeah, between you and Hashem, your kippah can help you. But sins between people, your kippah can't help you. Let's just move a little bit over here. The Rambam said like this, Kol mitzvot shebetorah ben aseh ben lo taseh. He says, any mitzvahs, positive and negative commandments. Im avar adam anachat ben ben bezad un ben b'shaka b'kshah seh tshuva yeshu b'chato chayav nitvadot. He has to do vidui. According to Rambam, that really is the ikra mitzvah of tshuva, right? He's doing vidui. You've got to actually mouth the sin. You've got to say, you've got to recognize the sin, acknowledge the sin, and make a declaration ever to do the sin again. That's all part of the mitzvah of tshuva as far as Rambam is concerned. And he says over here, the chayna chol b'chavero. So if you damage your friend, whatever the case is, you pay him the damages. You got to you won't be able to meet kaper to receive atonement. Achiyit vadeh till you have this energy. You make a verbal confession. That's why we say all those al chaitz. You know, we say for the sin that we did this, for the sin we did that, for the sin we did that. That's part of that's the vidu. That is mitvadeh. That's acknowledging. That's mouthing the sin. All right. So he said, melasot kaze leolam, and make a decision never to do it again. Shnei mikocha dem adam. Okay, that's another very important part of tshuva. The Shulchan Aruch says like this. Paskim lo kiram avayru tshuva adam chavayru. Who actually want to help until you actually appease your guy. Feel like need to a bit varying if you just like bad mouthed him. You got to go and appease him. Okay, and now whatever the guy doesn't want to listen to, doesn't want to appease you. He says, "V'im enu mit payes brishonai." Doesn't help listen to you the first time and say, "Okay, no problem." Yachzor v'yalech pam shdei, go back the second time and the third time. V'chol pam yikachi mosh lo sha anashim. Go back each time with three people. Take a baked in with you, right? V'im enu mit payes brishonai pamim. And if he doesn't, the third time doesn't listen to you, not happy, doesn't give you forgiveness. Eino zakuk lo yanga back anymore. He says, "Ever yomar achar kach ifnei asara." Should find 10 guys and say in front of them that you had asked this guy for mechila. Now, if imu rabo, if he's your rav, then there's no limits. You've got to go back and back. Now, the Ramah says interesting thing over here. But mochel, and the person who's being asked forgiveness, right, he says, lo yach zari milimcho. Don't be too harsh. God comes to ask you forgiveness, find forgiveness in your heart, right? Yimotzi alav shemra, however, he says, if he bad-mouthed you, if he slandered you, so then elot shech limcho, then you don't have to even mochelo. Right? We're talking now like if he beat you or stole from you or et cetera. If he bad mouthed you, if he slandered you in the streets and people are talking about you bad, that's going to even forgive him. If the person died, says the Ramah, we made Asher Chatalo Mevi Asher Bnei Adam Mabdim Akivo, you bring 10 guys to his kevet, his grave, Vomer Chatat Lo Yisrael Ploni Zeh, to this person, Shechatat Lo V'Nagul V'Kash Mechila, and he says, and the Ramah says, that it's a minag, and Yom Kippur to ask people for Mechila. Okay, I think let's just quickly talk about fasting for a moment. The pasuk of Yah says in the Torah, "Ach besol acholot shvi yisol they bini tebet achshem inflict yourself." So basically, the basic infliction is eating and drinking. Chachamim included to include three or four, I mean five, I think, right? Which is there's nilat sandal, sicha, tashmish amita, achila v'shtia. That's five, right? Are they going in English? Are they going in? Yes. Here include not bathing, anointing oneself, wearing leather shoes, or having marital relations. Alright? Oh, bathing. I think I left that bathing. All right? So that's that plus eating and drinking. And what? Eating is one. Was it Machlokin and Gomorrah? Eating and drinking was one or two? In Yom, we had Machlokin and Gomorrah, no? Was it Machlokin and Gomorrah? It was one or two. We saw that some said it was one and two. We said, Achlokin and Shur, one or two, right? The Sefer HaMitzvah is a nasty community over here. The Shulchan Aruch said like this, HaOchel B'Yom HaKippurim KeKotevet HaGasa. So if you eat a koge, what's a kotevet? HaGasa, a big date. Right? This is just slightly less than a kibetza, a little bit less than an egg. V'shiu zeh shveh lechola, it makes a difference how big you are. Bein anas, if you're a dwarf, bein og, if the giant og b'necha bashan. It's the same measure. A kotevet HaGasa, you eat it, you chayim Yom Kippur. Right? And he says, if you eat in shir, and what's the vision of shir? They have to be chayiv karet or chatat. But an isur, asur even a little bit on Yom Kippur. Okay? Now, there's a concept called shiurin. A person's sick, or a person's pregnant, a person's having a hard time. See, they eat little bits less than a shiur. We'll see that in a moment what it is. So then it's okay. Right? That's how you one should do it. There's a whole discussion over here about pregnant women and nursing women. Bottom line is, not a comfortable locha, but bottom line locha is a pregnant woman or a nursing woman should fast like anybody else. And this is a problem. Unless a doctor tells you a problem, there's no problem. Okay, you don't assume it. On the other hand, if you're a woman in labor or you've just given birth within the first 3 days, then you probably aren't even allowed to fast. Okay, but after between 4 and 7 days is a question. But after 7 days, whatever the case is, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Yeah, brought to many court, bitalot b'shlosh b'yom kippur." They fast and they feel, etc. And this ubrash shehericha. There's a thing which comes from the Gora, that if the fetus has smelled something, and now the woman gets a craving, right, upanea mishlim, and her face changes, abishalo amrat shuch, if she doesn't say I need food, lo chashin la boz, remember this Gemara? You whisper in her ear, and you tell her it's Yom Kippur, so maybe the baby will hear through the mother, and will calm down. If the mother doesn't calm down, lo chashin la boz, that's Yom Kippur, im nitkara data, if she calms down, bezikaron zeh mutav. Ve'im lav ma'achinin ota ad shetiyah shev dati. You feel it till she calms down. So if a woman goes into a craving fashion, you're seeing that the baby's in like freaking out because she wants some sort of food. So you talk to that baby, doesn't listen, then baby doesn't listen, etc. The Bishka Tshuva says that today we're a bit weaker. So there's a bit more place to be making over here. She said, with regards to actually a pregnant woman, she began to fall. At some point, feels unusually dizzy or weak. or she has contractions that are symptoms, she should certainly eat and drink immediately, at least less than the shiurim, right? And even more, maybe, if she needs more. Okay, let's see what else they've got over here. Right, so that's what the we discussed that over here. Now, somebody who's seriously sick. Someone is sick. It's a Gemara Sechet Yud of Pei Bet. Gemara says like this: that chole machinot to api bekin. You bring experts, basically doctors. Vim ein sham bekin. The people aren't experts around. Machinot to api. You let him decide. Ad shumei dan. He says no. So, the person is sick, you feed. Now, there's no point in dying on Yom Kippur, right? There's no point in dying on Yom Kippur. The Shulchan Aruch brings la halacha. Chole shalchich lechol. Im yasham rofe bekin. There's an expert there, doctor. Afilu who even the goy. Says that if the doctor says there is a goyish doctor, if you don't feel this guy's going to be dangerous, you feed him. You have to wait till the guy's going to die. Right? Just says it's bad for him, it's dangerous for him, it's not going to be, he's going to get into danger. He's going to die. If the doctor and the guy who's sick, I don't want to eat. Shomim Rofi, you listen to the doctor. And if the doc and the sick guy says I need to eat, I feel mad if we were even not tzarich. Even if Hanukkah said, "Don't eat," right? Shomim lechole, doesn't the chole? Because it's very important that it's like, you know, like there's a famous story I think of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who people used to say that he you know, how come you're so makil? Because he was very makil on these sorts of halachas about fasting and Yom Kippur. Someone, he was known as a big machmir. So he says, "How come you're so makil? You machmir everything else. You're so makil on Yom Kippur." He says, "I'm not makil on Yom Kippur. I'm just very machmir on pikuach nefesh." You know, so he says, I'm not making him kippah, I'm very particular about pikuach, that's where people die. Okay, so there is that. The issue of the shiurim, I think it's just worth mentioning a few words on the actual shiurim. Because the shiurim is far as we saw over here that the measure that one shouldn't eat is up to kokev, like a date, a big date, right? See, the Shulchan Aruch says over here that when you're feeding a pregnant woman or sick person, we start feeding small amounts that don't add up. Right, because we don't need to be chayv karet. So he says like this: you feed them 2/3 of an average size egg. The yeshu kedei achilat arba. You wait for them a break in between of eating 4 beitzim. That's really, you see the notes over here. That's basically called that's the measure of what do you call it? What's it called? Help me out, somebody. Toch de achille, right? It's basically like a kikka, which is like two meals, like half a loaf of bread, right? If it's drinking, yivduku b'chol yatzmo kamehi. You want to check if the kila kadeshi is alken letzadecha v'yirek melo lugmav. You want your cheese? Look at me. Whatever's inside there, that's the most you drink at one time. Now it gives good advice over here. I think it's all the Piskei Tshuvas. So you shouldn't wait till Yom Kippur. If you know that you're sick and you might have to eat this, prepare in advance. Go measure out the stuff, get your food measurements right, get your drink measurements right. He gives you guidelines. You can look at it over here on 41. He says, go and work it out and take with water. Use water because here we go according to, we don't go according to weight. We go according to, what's it called? Nefach. Volume. So volume and weight, but in water, the volume and weight is the same. Right, 1 kilo is the same as 1 liter, etc. So use that to measure it out. Gives you good advice over here. And then the kind of issue of children. So it's all of us, you know. I know when I was a child, and I don't say all of us. It's like this: Katan ben teisha shanim shleimot, a child at 9 or 10 shanim shleimot. Mechanich nato l'shad, you teach him for hours. Kaitzar, ayar ragilecho bet shop. He's used to eating every 2 hours. So now you're letting him eat every 3 hours. He's used to eating every 3 hours. You let him eat every 4 hours. You inflict him a bit according to his abilities as you stretch out the period. You know, the kids now, 6 days, okay, you're fasting and you're keeping it tomorrow. Come on, and tell all your friends at shul, my son's fasting. And the kids die. Right? That's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch says, a 9 or 10 year old, few hours at a time. Right? Ben Echadashem, he's 11 years old. For Ben Zachar, Ben Nekeva, boy or girl. They should start fasting because there is a kedusha and chuppah mitzvahs. And the Rama says the yesh omrim she'enot shechim nashli b'rabbanan klal. He says it's nonsense. They don't have to even do the rabbanan anything. He says you got to be very, very, very careful, right? If the child is weak or not scared, you don't put your child into danger whatsoever. Chukruch says avia katan shupachot b'ben taisha. Child is less than 9. Ain ma'aninoto, you don't make him fast. Right? And the Rama says, Afilim Rotel Hachmin Atzmo, if he wants to, Mochin Beyado. So Aloha here, a child under 9, if he wants to fast, he doesn't fast. Okay, when you start getting fast, when he's 10, 9, 10, a few hours, 11 years old, that's the time to start, according to Shulchan Aruch, Rama says, he doesn't have to finish fasting. The Piskei Teshuva ends off by saying like this. Uminag Olam Nechalech Nadim Akishem Lamati Megil Tesha. He says, the Minag is even less than 9 years old. Shulchan Aruch, Mr. Brewer says, Rama, not 9, and he says over here, the Minag allows you to do it. Bottom line, Am Yisrael, you can't beat them, right? They want their kids to fast from less than 9 years old. The father wants a bit of nachas from his child. Use your own discretion. Shana tova, gmar chatima tova.